Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to our Pride of Detroit podcast, First Bite. It's our preview podcast for the Detroit Lions' upcoming matchup against the Cleveland Browns. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the editor-chief at Pride of Detroit and your co-host for First Bite. With me, as always, for First Bite is the senior editor of Pride of Detroit and co-host of First Bite, Ryan Matthews. How are you doing, Ryan?
How flattering, Jeremy. What a wonderful introduction that was. I do appreciate that.
You said doo-doo.
All the goodwill just ripped from you. How are you doing, loser?
Wow. Great. Until you said that. Now I'm angry. Now, and this is going to be a contentious podcast. We didn't get a Browns guest this week, so it's just you and me. We're going to be at each other's neck pretty much all podcasts, I suspect, because, this team's 0-8-1. And I don't want to take the negative outlook here because there are some positives to take into this game. We're going to get some shakeups. It looks like we're going to get maybe some new things to look at, which given that this team hasn't really had a different look to it in the past, I don't know, 2 months, maybe Sunday provides something interesting and let's just get right into it. Right. Let's start as we always do. With one side of the ball, we'll start with the Lions offense here because I feel like that has the most intrigue because we are now through Thursday's practice and still no Jared Goff at practice, dealing with an oblique injury suffered when he threw it downfield for the first time in a couple months. And I guess hurt himself doing that because hadn't worked out those muscles in a while. And it sounds like, you listen to him talk on Wednesday, basically say like, listen, if I can't put the same zip on the ball that I normally can, I'm not going to put myself out there and hurt the team. And so he's not out there through two games. The Lions have said if he's healthy enough, he's going to play. So he's still the first string quarterback. But at this point, it really seems like it's Boyle time because, basically everyone in that coaching staff has said Boyle is ahead of David Blough, even though Boyle at this moment is still on IR. Seems like chances are they activate him and he starts on Sunday against the Browns. So Ryan, are you excited for this, dreading this, just thankful that you're going to see something different?
I think I probably fall into that final camp. It's just going to be interesting to see something different because I think we know what we have with Jared Goff. I think it's a fair assumption to say the player that we've seen through the first, 9 games that the Jared Goff has started and played in this in a Lions uniform has let us know who he is. And I think we have a firm understanding of who Jared Goff is now. We don't really know who Tim Boyle is outside of Packers media hype, a wild training camp where we all saw his arm talent in terms of how hard he can throw the ball. Yep. And what kind of zip he can put on it. And then in the preseason, we got an opportunity to see how that thing sprays like a Tommy gun. So, I guess it's going to be interesting to see a different kind of offense on Sunday. But I'm going to ask you this question, Jeremy. How different do you think it's going to be with Tim Boyle under center?
That's the question, right? Because if you ask Anthony Lynn, which he basically was asked today, he said it's not going to look any different. Like, the game plan is not going to, they don't have to take anything out of the game plan. And it sounds like they probably aren't going to add anything in the game plan. Really, I think what could potentially look different is just the willingness to push the ball downfield, right? Because that's the one thing we keep complaining about Jared Goff is sometimes they are calling plays for him to push it downfield, and he's just unwilling to do it, whether it's a lack of trust in his receivers, lack of time, his own mind that he can escape the pass rush with the spin move and then throw it downfield, which of course hasn't worked yet once this season.
Not yet, but we're holding out hope, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe by week 18, you know, something will happen there. And so I think maybe that's the biggest difference that you see, and whether that's a good or bad thing, I don't know. I mean, as much as people have been clamoring for a backup quarterback, these guys were not good in training camp. They were not good in the preseason. I think Tim Boyle's yards per attempt in the preseason was actually worse than Jared Goff's in the preseason. So, the other factor here, and we'll get to the run game in a little bit, but it is supposed to be maybe another rainy day, rainy cold day in Cleveland and another outdoor stadium, which means, I mean, we saw what the Lions did last week, and part of it maybe was the injury related thing with they didn't want to put too much on Goff's shoulder, and part of it is they love the running game and they don't want to take risks in the rain. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see this team try to run the ball 40 times again this week.
I don't think I would be shocked either. But I think what's important to talk about is running back health. Right. Sure. I mean, it seems like DeAndre Swift is still going to be that guy.
Yep.
No concerns there with his kind of limited practice early in the week. Seems like that's kind of maintenance after coming off of like a career high in rushing.
Yeah. Dealing with a shoulder injury technically, but basically the coaching staff and Swift have all pretty much said, yeah, he'll be fine.
So I think probably the big takeaway that we had from last week's game against the Steelers, Jeremy, was, yeah, Swift was awesome through like three quarters.
Yep.
And then when it got to the fourth quarter and overtime, it was pretty clear that maybe he just didn't have a whole lot left in the tank. And, it wasn't only him. I think that you put an awful lot of stress when you exert your offensive lineman like that for an entire game where they're block, you know, when you're run blocking on all those plays, it's a lot more work than pass blocking. That's for sure.
Sure.
So I think the most interesting question is, do the Lions think that they can get another game out of DeAndre Swift like that when you're still worried about what's behind him? Jamar Jefferson doesn't look like he's going to play. Jamal Williams, question mark, right?
Yeah, I think the answer is no. They don't want to do that again. And I don't put all the blame on DeAndre Swift for everything that fell apart in that last game. I think part of it was, you know, you also lost Matt Nelson. You also, I mean, there's also an adjustment period, right? Like I think the Steelers kind of figured things out a little bit in that fourth quarter. But I think the game plan going in was to kind of split it with Jamar. And then he goes down and they're like, well, do we want to give the ball to Godwin Igwebuke in the fourth quarter when he only has five career carries, or do we want to give it to our playmaker Swift? And they're like, and let's just go Swift.
I like that observation, and I think this was my reason why Jared Goff stayed in the game in the fourth quarter and in overtime. Are you going to really put in a cold quarterback who hasn't been dealing with the conditions on the field of handing the ball off and snap exchanges and all that stuff? So I think there's credence to that, and both ways, in the run game and in the pass game.
Right. But I think this week, like I feel like Jamal is full go. I think he's to be the 1A to the 1B or the 1B to the 1A, whatever you want. And that's going to be big for the Lions, because I think they were missing that last week. I know they had 200 rushing yards. I think they could have had more.
They could have 280.
Yeah, they really could. And that's one of the first things that running backs coach Deuce Daly said, like, we left some on the board there. So I do think there's a chance for them to succeed there. The problem is, this is a pretty good Browns defense. This is a pretty good Browns defensive front that has not given up a lot of rushing yards this year. And I don't think it's a particularly good matchup, because we really haven't seen the Lions be able to do this consistently week to week. Last week, I mean, we were saying some of the same things about the Steelers run defense, right? Like, it wasn't, I think I would put the run defense of the Browns above the Steelers, but the fact that the Lions were able to do that against the Steelers is very, very promising. But again, like, you also have to put in context too, like, the Lions surprised the Steelers, right? They pulled out the six offensive line formation that the Steelers weren't ready for. Well, cat's out of the bag this week. I don't know if you can catch the Browns by surprise this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's out there, right? Yeah. And it's also important to note that was a Dan Campbell called game.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of context to go into it too. You know, we've talked about the conditions on the field and everything like that. And, you know, you have Goff's injury. I think it was the perfect storm for that kind of a game to happen. And then right. we talked about that on the podcast, but yeah, I agree with you. You're not going to catch this Browns defense, by surprise if you're planning on having a repeat performance in terms of play calling with running the football. But you have to think that's the direct path to the Lions having a chance in this game, right? Is their ability to run the ball, because their inability leads them to fail with Jared Goff. I don't know if their inability will be propped up by the ability of Tim Boyle in his replacement, but I think another important, you know, thing to talk about is, you know, what the Lions are going to be able to do in the passing game and as far as their receivers.
Yeah, and that leads us to Josh Reynolds, right? Like, I think everyone expects him to make his debut this week, his Lions debut this week. And we don't really know what that's going to bring to this offense. You know, he's a bigger receiver. You know, we heard Anthony Lynn today talk about his ability to go up and catch 50-50 balls, something that we were used to seeing in the past couple of years with guys like Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay, but really haven't seen that happen with the current set of receivers. I think in a lot of ways, he's the guy that the Lions wanted in Tyrell Williams, never really got a chance to see. So I don't know, like it's intriguing. I don't know, you know, how much he's going to play in this game. I don't know how much of a rapport he's going to have with whichever quarterback the Lions throw out there, but it can't hurt, right?
No, I certainly don't think it can hurt. But I think what fans are really going to be clamoring for is more TJ Hockenson.
Sure.
Like, you know,
one
after
target last week,
one target. And I don't even know if you could really call that screen pass a target when he was still engaged in his block.
Right.
It's I think everybody wants to see some more TJ Hockenson. And this is, I hate to do this because we don't have a Browns host, but it'd be awesome to be like, hey, our weekly question of can the Browns linebackers play good defense in coverage against, you know, opposing tight ends and running backs? Because I think that's still the key sure. to this Lions offense being successful is their ability to, and that's going to be something, hey, take it for what it's worth. It's a skill with Jared Goff to be right. able to make those short completions. I'm a little bit concerned about Tim Boyle's ability to make those same kind of touch passes when he's a guy who we don't really even know if he can do that. So right. the Lions offense could look vastly different from what it's looked like all year long.
Yeah. And to go back to the tight end coverage thing, I know that's something that, you know, that was a question I was wondering myself. So I did a little deep diving, especially with tight ends in mind. And it's something that the Browns really struggled with early in the season. They kind of rebounded nicely over the middle of the season. But then you look to last week, Hunter Henry, 4 catches, 37 yards, but 2 touchdowns. So mm-hmm. it is something that I think they're still kind of working through. But yeah, like the screen passes, that's what really has kind of driven this offense all season when it has been successful. And it hasn't been as successful lately. I mean, I think it was kind of a disaster in Pittsburgh because they knew this team wasn't going to be able to test them downfield. Maybe just the presence of Josh Reynolds helps open some of that sort of stuff up. But we'll see. I think it's interesting to just think about. Last thing I want to touch on is the offensive line versus obviously a really, really good Browns defensive front in terms of both pass protection and running the ball, because I think, like we mentioned, the addition of that third tackle really seemed to help the Lions a lot in the running game, not just as a surprise, like those guys were mauling dudes. But Taylor Decker, we have to talk about because he popped up on the injury report on Thursday, dealing with an elbow injury, a new thing, nothing related to his finger. And if he can't play, then suddenly we're talking about moving Sewell back to left tackle, maybe Matt Nelson at right tackle, because he's also dealing with an injury, but he returned to practice on Thursday in a limited fashion. If not that, then you're talking about Penei Sewell and Will Holden against the likes of Myles Garrett, arguably the best pass rusher in the league, and Jadeveon Clowney, which, welcome to the starting lineup, Tim Boyle.
Yeah. And also another, it's like a weekly entry in Penei Sewell's rookie journal, like welcome to the NFL rookie. It was, you know, first it was Nick Bosa and Then it was, you know, TJ Watt most recently. And now it's, I mean, it's nuts. Like it shows you just how valuable it is to have both those tackles healthy. And that's why it's such a huge bummer to have Taylor Decker pop up on the injury report. You need him to be healthy. You need him to be there. Because you talk about this Cleveland pass rush and it's third in DVOA. It's third in PFF grade.
Yeah.
But their pass defense grade on DVOA is near the bottom of the league.
Yeah,
it's so,
like 28th.
I think it's 26. Yeah. But so their run defense, very good by DVOA standards. Yep. And very good in terms of PFF grade because they're eighth. So you know they're a good run-stopping team. They can generate a pass rush like few other teams in the league can. But they struggle in coverage, and you don't feel too optimistic if it's Tim Boyle and the group of receivers that he has right now.
Yeah, it's definitely not the ideal matchup. I think if this offense is ever going to see success this year, it's the exact inverse of the Browns defense. It's a team that can't stop the run, and you know maybe they have good coverage, but who cares? Because we don't throw the ball downfield.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think last week is promising. But again, since the cat's out of the bag, I think the Lions are going to have to find something new to do. And yeah, Taylor Decker's, availability is key for Detroit here. And I don't know. Like, we don't really know what the severity of this injury is. Maybe they're just taking it easy with Decker. He was out there on the practice field today. So maybe that just means like, I think usually when it's a serious enough injury, you're not even out there, right? Like, you're not.
Yeah. And wasn't Decker's he out also, there? I was going to say, wasn't he out there in like a hoodie and stuff? And
yeah.
Maybe just like a conditioning day, hopefully.
Maybe. We'll see. But yeah, I do think that's key. I don't know, Ryan, I know we haven't gotten to the predictions segment yet, but like, do you think there's any hope for the Lions offense in this matchup at all? Or is it just like another day where if the Lions hit 17 points, that's probably a win for them?
I want Tim Boyle to have his Mike White moment. I really do bad.
And I mean, that's where the surprise comes in, right? The surprise. I mean, he brings maybe a little more mobility. Maybe that's something that you utilize a little more.
Yeah. Maybe you can go to play action and things like that. Yeah.
Some bootlegs, things like that. Although they try a little bit of that with Goff and doesn't seem to work. So I don't know.
So I just
bootleg right into Myles Garrett. Don't do that.
Yeah. I just come back to a couple of Thanksgivings ago. When David Blau stepped in for Matthew Stafford, and on the very first drive, he has that huge connection to Kenny Galladay. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that like we're bound to repeat those occurrences, but all I'm saying is that's where the intrigue is, right? Yeah. That's where, you know, it's almost one of those things too, where a problem, like almost like two problems get solved, right? Like if Tim Boyle isn't the answer, it's like, okay, well, we moved on to the next thing. We've answered the question of like, hey, Jared Goff has been bad, but like he set the bar so low, somebody has to be better. You know, if Tim Boyle doesn't rise to the occasion and have a good game, all those things get put to bed.
Let's play a fun scenario here. Let's say Tim Boyle does some good things. Maybe even the Lions win and he throws two touchdown passes. Quarterback controversy or no?
Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. It's such a fair question though, isn't it? Like, I think it's an entirely fair question because Jared Goff hasn't won a game. And if Tim Boyle can go out and do it extremely shorthanded on the wide receiver end, as Jared Goff has been, you know, for the majority of the season. But I have a feeling that we should probably stop this segment because Jeremy's eyes got the size of like silver dollars.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
And to the podcast audience, that it is related to the fact that we are continuing our Movember charity stream here. Go to twitch.tv/PrideOfDetroit and click exclamation point donate in our chat if you want to donate, or go to pridedetroit.com and find the article with Ryan Santoso's face on it, oddly enough. But we are raising money for RAIN, one of the biggest nonprofits in America that helps out sexual abuse survivors. We just started raising money for them on Tuesday. And we are off to, I would say, a very impressive start after this stream, which we'll get into during the break. But if you are interested in doing that, make sure you go to our website to see what you can win for your donations and other things you can redeem your donations for. So with that, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Browns offense versus the Lions defense and make some predictions for week 11. So stick around for First Bite. We'll be right back.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back here on First Bite, previewing Lions versus Browns, week 11. Lions trying to continue their three-week non-losing streak against the Cleveland Browns team, coming off a hurting at the hands of the New England Patriots. We talked about the Lions offense against the Browns defense. Now let's flip it and talk about the Browns offense versus the Lions defense. And much like the Lions, the story kind of starts with the quarterback, Baker Mayfield, dealing with a whole bunch of injuries. Knee mostly is what is the big one. Did not practice Wednesday, limited on Thursday. You have to imagine he probably plays in this game, but he hasn't been very good. Ryan, what are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield overall? I'm kind of in like the middle here, where I'm not really sure whether he's bad. I'm not really sure if he's good, but it doesn't seem like he's elite or will get there. Is that kind of where you're at?
I hope you're not hoping that I'm going to bring you on to either side of the fence, because I don't really have much of an understanding when it comes to Baker Mayfield either, because I don't watch a lot of Browns football. But with that being said, it seems like if I'm just box score watching or, you know, glancing from afar, it seems like Baker Mayfield is good for like a few good games and then a stinker. Right. And then a few good games and a stinker. And it almost seems like it's routine in terms of his kind of up and down play. I know last year he had that long streak of games where he was just like really, really impressive. And then, you know, the playoffs hit and he just had a tough matchup, you know? So I think Baker though is more good than bad. I think that's how I feel about Baker Mayfield, is that there's more good than bad. I don't know, like, To take this into kind of like, you know, a related aspect of their offense, you know, for as much was made about the hashtag free Odell situation,
right?
What do you really see in that wide receiving core beyond Odell Beckham Jr. that goes, yeah, like these other guys should be playing behind him? Or why isn't Odell getting the ball as much as he should be with, you know, the options that are available at wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, the passing game hasn't been what I think the Browns expected it to be, because it, I think you went into the season thinking that was a pretty stacked receiving group with Jarvis Landry and Donovan Peoples-Jones and David Njoku, you know, all good receiving options, it seemed
all
like.
Along with Odell Beckham.
Yeah. All along with Odell Beckham. And for whatever reason, it never seemed that the chemistry hasn't really developed, it seems like, there. You know, the leading receiver is Njoku, and he's 352 yards, 2 touchdowns in 10 games. It's not a ton. 35 yards a game is okay for a tight end. It's not great. It's not bad. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones is your second leading receiver with 330. So, and then worth noting in this matchup, they're dealing with a lot of injuries at that position. Peoples-Jones did not practice on Thursday after being limited on Wednesday. Seems like a new injury for him, a groin injury that he's dealing with. He might not play in this game. And you go further down in the depth chart, Anthony Schwartz also dealing with a concussion, probably not going to play in this game. So you're left with Jarvis Landry and ? Like tight ends.
Yeah. And Jarvis Landry isn't the Jarvis Landry of like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think what has happened with Jarvis Landry is, unfortunately, just like football has gotten to him. You know, it seems like he's a guy who was really effective in making the catch and making people miss
right.
and get a field. But I mean, on the season, 23 catches in 6 games for 219 yards. That's only 9.5 yards of reception.
Yeah. And the other aspect of this matchup is, you know, pass rush versus pass protection. The Browns have given up the second most sacks in the league. And I think part of that is on Baker. You know, he's a guy that likes to hold onto the ball a lot. He likes to run around and things like that. We'll see if the knee injury kind of limits him in his ability to escape. The problem here is that the Lions don't seem to have much of a pass rush these days. They haven't had a sack in the past 2 games. Last week, when Mason Rudolph dropped back 50 times, the Lions didn't get a pressure, or I'm sorry, didn't get a quarterback hit or a sack. And in this game, they might be missing Trey Flowers, a guy who's dealing with a perpetual knee injury, hasn't practiced yet this week. And so they'll have to rely on the likes of Julian Okwara, Austin Bryant, Charles Harris, who have been okay, but none of those guys are probably starter worthy. So, you know, Baker might have a little bit more time than he's used to back there.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems like when Baker has time to make plays from the, you know, games that I've watched of the Browns, it seems like when Baker has time to make plays, it's like 95% of the other quarterbacks in the league, when they have time, they can make NFL throws.
Right.
So, you know, you definitely view that as being a positive, but like, I think what's most important to cover with this Browns offense is obviously their bread and butter, and it's their run game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it all comes back to that. And for as much as, you know, you mentioned Jeremy, I don't think that there is anybody that I really saw on Twitter or, you know, just in the national conversation that was worried so much about the Browns passing game, because they're like, their run offense is going to be incredible. So, I mean, everything that they do in the passing game is going to be gravy. And, you know, not having Nick Chubb for the past couple of games has been a problem.
It has definitely affected them. You know, I kind of broke down their statistics from the first half of the season versus second half of the season. First half, they had 175 carries, 938 rushing yards, 5.36 a carry, and 12 touchdowns.
You're going to win a lot of games doing that.
Yeah. Last 5 games, they dropped to 603 yards, 5.1 a carry, 4 touchdowns. Now, those are still pretty impressive numbers, right? They're still averaging 120 yards a game in those past 5 games. Mm-hmm. Over 5 yards a carry is very impressive, and 4 touchdowns isn't too bad either. But the difference in those two is that Chubb missed 2 games in those last 5. And we don't know what his availability is this week, because he remains on the COVID-19 reserve list as of right now. One of his tailbacks, who was also on the list, did return on Thursday. So there's a thought that maybe Chubb is on the way to returning, and he does seem like the kind of back that doesn't necessarily need to practice at all. He might just jump into the lineup. But Brian, you were telling me it might not matter to you, at least, if Chubb isn't in this game, because Browns still have some capable options back there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And we're not talking about Kareem Hunt, because he's still on IR. So, yeah. You know, we're talking about D'Ernest Johnson. He's a guy who in, you know, limited playtime has been incredible. And I guess when I say limited playtime, it's these opportunities where he all of a sudden gets flooded with a bunch of carries. It's actually the, and you know, running back designations for who's the starter can just be thrown to the wind because it's whoever's on the field first. So,
right.
But you know, ironically or coincidentally enough, the two games that he started, one game against Denver, 22 carries for 146 yards, 6.6 a carry and a touchdown. And then most recently in a losing effort to New England, where they trailed for the majority of that game, he had 19 carries for 99 yards. So that's 5.2 a carry. And, you know, I think when you look at the Lions run defense, it's just a matter of, are they going to show up? And right. I think they did a pretty good job against Najee Harris. You know, I think they did, you know, I guess the expectation was so low because of the Eagles game. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You don't know which run defense you're going to get to show up. I thought Michael Brockers took a big step out of the bye and played a pretty good game. Again, they had to deal with some injuries. So we saw a ton of Deshaun Hand in that game, which was kind of curious. And even more curious was when I asked Dan Campbell what his thoughts on how Deshaun Hand played. Like, he did his typical thing when a player doesn't play well, which is he doesn't outright say that he didn't play well, but he basically said he's not playing well. He's like, he can do a lot better is the way he phrased it. And so, you know, that's going to change a lot of things. We'll see. Last week, they didn't use a lot of nose tackles in John Penasini and Aleem McNeil. They didn't play a lot. So maybe they changed things up a little bit, but you're right. Like, I think they did an okay job against Najee Harris. Like, he still reached over 100 yards. The Steelers still had more rushing yards per carry than they do in the season. And obviously running for about 130 yards or so is not exactly where he wanted. And in fact, it was kind of interesting to hear Aaron Glenn talk about it today, because he said, like, it pissed me off that Najee Harris had over 100 yards against us. We're not hitting our goals if a running back is doing that against us. And so there's definitely room for improvement, but you're right. It was a huge improvement over the Eagles game. I don't think they gave up a rush longer than 12 yards, unless you count the Mason Rudolph scramble there. But that's where they need to be, right? Like, even if they're giving up 120 yards a game, they need to only give it up in chunks and stretch out these possessions and hope that Baker Mayfield makes a mistake. Cause that's kind of what happened last week, right? Like, you stretch out these possessions for the Steelers. Mason Rudolph made a heck of a lot of mistakes in that game and it allowed him to hold him to 16 points. Now, Baker Mayfield's obviously a much better quarterback, but he's also pretty mistake prone. Like, he's a guy that has some mental mistakes. He's a guy that'll take sacks that maybe he shouldn't take. And he's also a guy that's beat up. You know, he's got a torn labrum in his shoulder. He's got a busted knee. Like, he's not going to be playing his best football on Sunday, even if he's playing good football. So I think that's probably the strategy on Sunday. I don't know. What's your confidence level in this defense, in this matchup? Because, I mean, we are talking about the number one run game in the NFL, and we've seen the Lions do well against really good run defenses or run offenses in the Ravens. We've seen them do really bad against the Eagles, who averaged 5.0 yards per carry. So they're a pretty good run offense as well. So is it just like a coin flip? This one tough to predict, or do you think the Lions are in trouble here?
I think this one... I think it really depends too on the conditions that we have for this game.
Yeah. And it is supposed to be a little rainy potentially.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to say it becomes situational or it becomes dependent upon that, but I would like to have, you know, that kind of knowledge before predicting anything. But the one thing that I think I can definitely count on from the Lions defense is for them to show up and be physical for a second week in a row, because I think obviously there were a lot of factors that I think that went into the Philadelphia Eagles game. I think it was more than just, you know, the team didn't tackle well and they weren't very physical at the point of attack, but that was compounded by the fact that they were constantly getting thrown back out onto the field with the offense, like, not able to move the ball at all whatsoever.
Right.
So I think that there was a smell of like defeat where it was like, why are we even out here? But then you fast forward after the bye in the Steelers game, and because it was a competitive game from wire to wire, literally, I think you had a defense that was motivated and they felt like, okay, like we're watching those offensive linemen out there just road grading. We're watching, you know, Swift, you know, rip off runs and Igwebuke and Jamar Jefferson. And that has to be like uplifting. That has to be encouraging. That has to be, you know, reassuring that, hey, you know what? They're at least getting us off the field, getting a rest, because I think that's the problem too with the Eagles game specifically, Jeremy. I think the Lions just got wore down. Yeah. I mean, it was 46 carries. It was carry after carry after carry. It wasn't so much of that in the Steelers game. I mean, Mason Rudolph threw the ball 50 times.
Yeah.
Which I think was just so wildly dumb of the Steelers to do, to be point blank. But I think you're right in the fact that if the Lions want to have a chance in this game, they have to count on the times that Baker Mayfield drops back to throw, he makes a mistake, or a pass rusher gets to him and it's a sack and it's third and you know, it's third and eight. And all of a sudden it's fourth and 12 and they got to punt it. And I think those plays are going to be really important for the Lions, and they have to capitalize off those. And it sounds like a cliche, but like if the Lions, if they can't stop Baker when he's throwing the ball to extend a drive on those third downs, because third down they've either worked really well in the Lions' favor, or they've, you know, just gotten blown out. Yeah.
No middle
ground. No middle ground with that. So I think that's where, I think I kind of jumped the gun on the one thing I think I know.
Whoa. Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really like this particular matchup for the Lions. I mean, obviously, when you're talking about the number one rushing offense in the league, like there's not going to be a lot of defenses that can stop that. And the Lions to me have just been too inconsistent week to week. And really their defensive interior just isn't playing well right now. And that's where the Browns are the strongest, like right up the middle, right up the gut. They struggle out on the outsides. That, you know, Jack Conklin, their right tackle, has been on IR for the past couple weeks. And so he won't play in this game. So I need something out of either those nose tackles, maybe Levi. Nick Williams hasn't really done much in the past few weeks. Brockers, like we said, had a good game last week. I need that to continue. And maybe he just needed a mental rest in the bye week, and maybe he'll come back out of the bye and look strong for back-to-back games. But I don't know. I just, the way I look at it, man, if the Lions can't stop the run in this game, I don't see how anything else falls into place, right? Like, the play action will then start hurting them, because this is a young linebacking core that still isn't very good. They've got a guy in David Njoku who can really kill them, I think, on some play action plays. And while I don't think this is a necessarily tough matchup for, you know, the defensive backs, who again are beat up a little bit in this game, you know, play action can kind of be the ultimate equalizer there. And so Baker's not going to be afraid to throw it downfield and test these young guys. And, it's been kind of a mixed bag with the secondary. Sometimes they'll give up these big plays. Sometimes they'll make a play on it. But I don't really like the matchup in anything, if I'm being completely honest. I don't think, like last week, I thought there was some room for optimism even before Roethlisberger was ruled out. I don't see a lot of lanes to a victory this week, which I guess that will lead us into the one thing we think we know. Our prediction segment, where we don't necessarily predict the score or the outcome, just one thing we think is going to happen in this game. As always, Ryan is going to be the one to kick us off. Do you remember what you predicted last week for the Steelers?
No. Do you?
I said hammer the under and I nailed it. So I feel pretty good about that.
Nice. You know, did I end up just stating the bet that I wrote about on Friday about both Swift and Najee Harris having combined over 174 yards from scrimmage, which they blew out of the water.
Yeah, that was an easy
one. Just running the football, though, which is pretty surprising from DeAndre Swift's standpoint. But the one thing I think I know, just doing some quick research here real quick, the Cleveland Browns ranked 22nd in third down conversion efficiency. The interesting thing about it, though, is in the past three games, they are the worst in the NFL. Ooh. At converting just 23% of their third down plays. How much of that do you think has to do with Nick Chubb not playing there and keeping that offense on schedule? Here's the thing. If Nick Chubb doesn't play, the one thing I think I know is that the Lions can keep the Browns in trouble on third down. I have a fair vote of confidence in their ability to stop, you know, to stop the Browns offense on third down. I think that Detroit, they showed the ability to do that against the Steelers. Was some of that self-inflicted? Absolutely. But who knows what kind of Baker you're going to get. especially like you said, he's so banged up. So I the one thing I think I know is that I think the Lions can keep that trend moving in a similar direction.
Fair enough. All right. The one thing I think I know, and this one's going to go deep. The one thing I think I know is that Tim Boyle is going to do something early in the game, which is going to get everyone on his side and start thinking about him playing on Thanksgiving against the Bears. And then he is going to do something terrible in the second half where everyone will be calling for David Blau on Thanksgiving instead.
I don't know how bold that is. I was hoping that you're going to say he's going to do something early in the drive that gets everybody on his side. And then later that drive, he will do something that will have everybody turn on him. But
it very well could happen in the same drive. Because listen, yeah. I think the Lions are going to fall behind in this game. And that means Tim Boyle is going to have to throw the ball. And when he's going to throw at least an interception in this game. He just is. And that's the one thing, like, Jared Goff is kind of cleaned up. Like, he hasn't turned the ball over that much, except like it was at the end of the Rams game, right? I think that might be the last time he has a turnover, is the two interceptions at the end of the Rams game. One of which was his fault. The second one was just kind of a desperation, who cares interception. Yeah. So I think, and that's, I think, where you're going to see the biggest changes is he is going to be a little bit less risk averse. Yes. He's going to be less risk averse. I'm trying to double negative myself. He's going to be more risky, I think, would probably be a better way to say that.
Perfect. Yes.
And I think he's a more inaccurate quarterback than Jared Goff is. And I know a lot of people might push back on that, but I think that's selective memory from you. He's a less accurate quarterback. He's more risky, which means more interceptions, more turnovers, and maybe the Lions will try to rein him in, but he's only had 2 weeks of practice. I don't think you can tame the beast in 2 weeks.
Quick, I need somebody to Photoshop Tim Boyle's face on the risky business on the risky business poster. Does it surprise you that I know a movie from like the 1980s?
A little bit, yeah. Especially since earlier you said, you know, you were old enough to get prostate tests. I didn't know they offered those to 18-year-olds, but who knows?
I hate you.
And with that, we will close out First Bite. Thank you for listening, everybody. Again, if you want to give to our Movember charity campaign, head to prideofdetroit.com. Look for Ryan Santoso. Click on that link, then click on the donate here button, or join us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/prideofdetroit. We are live every Sunday after the game. We're live typically sometime midweek to preview the game, like we currently are. Saturday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, we're doing our Madden Sims. We'll be doing Lions, obviously, versus Browns this Saturday. If you're hearing this by Saturday, come join us. We'll have a good time. We'll donate some money, and we'll also take a bite out of an onion again, apparently, because that's what happened in between segments here. So until next time, thank you for listening. My name is Jeremy Reisman. That's Ryan Matthews. It's chaos. Be kind.